you are the chair.
This is where we're going to call two people.
And so they're going to call Dr. Bird and Andy.
This is for your last one.
No, just the agenda item.
Is it?
It's not.
Yeah, that's Dr. Bird.
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Byrne, it's Victoria. We're going to start Hi. Dr. Pauletto's item in just a moment. We're going to put you on hold just for a second while we connect her attorney. So hold on, please. Mr. Goldberg, it's Victoria, it's Veterinary Board. We've got everybody here now.
Hello.
So we're going to just turn you over to the board's vice chair, who's going to be leading this agenda item. Dr. Pauletto, I'm going to have you come up. And Dr. Pauletto, your attorney is on the phone. And Dr. Byrne, can you hear me as well? So guess not. So give us just a second to get Dr.
Did you get transfer again? I'm sorry. Did you get conference again?
Dr. Byrne, do I have you?
I'm here.
Okay. And Mr. Goldberg, you're still there?
Correct.
Awesome. Right. Okay, thank you. Go right. Dr. James?
All right. So this is Section 4, Number 3. So would you please state your name?
Yes. Dr. Tamara Pauletto.
Thank you for being here today. And then on the phone, I think we have Dr. Burns remotely as part of the board. And then we have Dr. Pauletto's attorney. Would you please state your name?
Yes, my name is Michael Goldberg. Thank you.
Great. So I think we're here to discuss the quarterly update. It looks like we have a statement from the counselor on progress, which looked good. And then we have the meeting attendances, and that was fine. And then we have the test results, which show that we have a positive test. And I was wondering if you could give us an explanation as to what may be causing that.
Yes, I can. I made a mistake, and I was hurting. My dad died suddenly and unexpectedly in a tragic accident. It didn't fix anything, and I regret drinking that night deeply. I told my sponsor, my AA home group, my husband, my sister, my best friend, my lawyer, and all I can do now is the next right thing. I'm going to more meetings almost daily. And it's better staying caught up with my work and my records. It's better holding my boundaries. My family, both at home and at work, my clients, my patients are benefiting a lot, greatly from the board, the work the board is requiring of me. And for that, I am very grateful. And I hope that the board can see beyond the scuff in my armor, which is what it is. It's a scuff, it's not a crack. And allow me to continue working to be a better version of myself. But I am being honest and open here that I did make a mistake. And every year and since then and before then, would show that that was a one-time mistake.
So, I do have a question on that too. So when I look at, and I don't usually handle this type of case, but when I go back and look at August, I show a positive. When I go back, am I reading that wrong?
I think the positive in August was because I was taking the hemp supplement.
That's from the amphetamines is from
I'm always positive on the amphetamines.
Yes. Okay. So that
because of the Vyvanse.
Okay. So then the only change is the one
it's the alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. So everything else you're right. Okay. And Victoria, can you remind me where we are in the consent agreement as far as how far in?
Not exactly, unless I look it up, but not very far.
Pardon?
September 2nd, I believe, was the date. Yeah, we're not very far into it.
What was the date of the?
It was effective September 2nd. But she had started, remember, she started earlier.
Okay, that, you said December 6th?
September 2nd. So we're like, 2 weeks in.
2 weeks in. Yeah, this is, that's my concern. It's awfully early for a rebate.
But she had started long before she needed to.
Right.
Right, to show good faith in the process. And it's been several months since she's been doing all these things.
The weekly UAs started, I want to say, back in July?
It's been at least July.
July, August, September, that's. I'll again state, my concern is you're so early on in the recovery process, which is a process that basically has to last the rest of your life.
Right.
And so to have a relapse so early in the recovery process causes me concern.
Can I ask a?
Yes.
Question. You came forward with your mistake and told parties involved. Was that before or after the test?
Before. It was before.
Thank you.
And during this time, were you working?
Not when I had that one, that relapse, no. I mean, I was working Monday, Tuesday. I drank Wednesday or Tuesday night, and then I worked. And that was it, just Tuesday night. And then I worked on Thursday and took my test on Friday.
Was the Friday test the one that was positive?
Yes.
Okay, so you were still positive after you had started practicing again?
I must have been. I wasn't drinking, but I.
Yeah, that's the residual.
Alcohol stay that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I can't remember the, yeah, I can't remember the half-life, but it doesn't, but I mean, the testing will test for at least a few days or so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's, so it stays in the body, but it's not impairment level of anything. It's just the residuals where the metabolites are going to be in the body. That's why drug testing is handy, because we can look for residual stuff that, after the fact. I say drug testing, this is alcohol, but.
So being that we're so early on, we already have as stringent of testing as we can, and we already have regular appearances. So I don't know that there's anything in the agreement that we can change to make more strict. Like, it's not like this happened later on and we can revert back and make things more strict. I kind of feel like we're right there.
I agree, and we have two tests since that are negative in that regard. So that's good there. I mean, I think we have to consider the circumstances around that. I mean, a sudden passing of a parent is hard, and that's not an excuse, but it's also a contributing factor. So I think that has to be taken into consideration. And yeah, you're right, we're still doing the testing the same. I think, go ahead.
What does the consent agreement state about a positive test?
Probably gives us the ability to lift the stay.
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
I've got that. It says that any occurrence of the following may constitute non-compliance with the order, subject to review if contested in writing by a respondent. A positive drug or alcohol test showing evidence of any substance other than an authorized drug.
And the recourse is lifting the stay, or what is the recourse there?
So it's up to the board to decide. The board always decides what's non-compliance, right?
It doesn't have an automatic lifting or anything in that. Like, once you hear it.
Let me go back to that. And I don't see that she does not have a state suspension down.
I mean, I am leaning towards what the counselor's report being positive. I get that we're early on in this. That's when you're going to have relapses. From everything I know about this, that's when they typically do occur, is early on. We had a sudden death, which, having just dealt with that with my own father, it's stressful, to say the least. And so I feel like she did what she needed to do in good faith and what we would have wanted her to do, which is come forward and say, look, I did this. She's willing to take accountability for what she did. So, I mean, all of those things are things that make me go, I'm not sure at this point in time that I would change anything outside of sending the message that that can't happen again. Like, we don't normally allow people to have positive tests and then keep going, right? That's not how this process works. But maybe because I'm feeling good on her being and being honest about it, that I'm more apt to say, you know what, let's keep going. Let's keep trudging forward.
I understand where you're going to. I almost said Dr. Solomon. Well, I call you Dr. Solomon.
Dr. Solomon.
So I understand what you're saying for sure, because it is a violation. But yeah, I mean, I have to kind of, my human side rarely has to come out. But in this one, it's kind of, I have to look at the extenuating circumstances.
Weird that our human side's coming out on
the
same
page. I know, I don't like that. But, again. Yeah, but I mean, according to the letter of the consent agreement, you're correct. But I also have to sleep at night. And I have to think, with the extenuating circumstances in that, I mean, we don't even give a one chance to anybody, but this would kind of be the one that, if there's a problem in the future.
Because we're not saying relapse is okay.
No,
we're
absolutely
not. Saying relapse is okay.
Yeah, it's like I said, and it's not an excuse. But I also understand a parent passing away suddenly like that in an already vulnerable state, because we are early on and stuff.
That's when you reach out for help.
I agree. And hopefully.
Not the bottle.
Yes.
And if it had gone on and work had been done while under the influence, we'd be in a totally different...
Well, that's my concern. We have the positive test after she went back to work.
Yeah, but that's...
No, you're absolutely correct. But we're looking at metabolites as opposed to active alcohol in there. It's metabolites.
I have not insufficient scientific knowledge to determine whether that would impair work as a veterinarian on the job, whether that would be the definition of inebriation.
Well, it wouldn't.
And that's why I have to
scale. Like, you don't, not for drinking and driving, if you they don't test you this way to get back 3 days to say you were positive on Tuesday.
And I would, if we had a complaint from the hospital from someone there saying that there was slurring of words or we were running in the walls or something and showing some kind of active drunkenness there, a report from the hospital, I would agree with you. But when we're looking at metabolites, that's to see, has this happened at all, not is it actively happening right now? Kind of like with legalizing marijuana now. You can test those metabolites after the fact.
I understand.
Is that actually impairing? So,
but there were
some
still metabolites on Friday, and she worked on Thursday, is my point.
Yeah, but and I agree. But like I said, the metabolites, the half-life of that is not the half-life of alcohol as an active impairment agent either. It's the residual things as the body's breaking down that we can test to say, you did drink, we know that now, but not are you actively drunk. There's a difference between those two. And that's what we can't say based on, I understand what you're saying, but that's, we can't prove it based on this. That's where if a technician said, I smelled alcohol, or we were slurring our words or something, and we were actively drunk at the time, that's where you could say, okay, now there's multiple things of evidence here, but this is an active metabolite saying, you drank, but that's all we know.
And we already have the clinic aware of the consent agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they would already be on alert to be watching is my thing. I'm going to make a motion, and we're not going to all agree on this one because it's a tough one, Jane, and I totally hear you on this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make a motion that we stay the course with our consent agreement, sending the message that this is not something that can happen. In fact, I'm going to say, I think this is the first time I think we've actually had to face this where we're going to not take more action. Although I can't remember every case we've seen. I can't even remember yesterday.
So I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I don't worry about it. So anyway, then it would just be staying the course. We're not making any changes to the consent agreement.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an emotional thing, but I'll second that. But yeah, I think the conversation is there that this is not acceptable, and it's not an excuse, and it better never happen again, because then we're really good issues.
If there's another relapse, can the board staff immediately?
Suspend the license.
Suspend the...
If it's not in the consent agreement, then we'd have to go back to the consent agreement and get agreement on that.
That's amended.
Sometimes it is.
But we have to have agreement on the amendment.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right? Not part of her consent agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
However, if there would be a positive test, knowing the board's concern, we could try to have a
special meeting.
Special meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be great direction to staff that the board would want to have a special meeting should there be a relapse.
Yes.
Okay. Because I mean, ultimately, our goal here is to get you back to practicing
exactly.
Like normal. It's not exactly. We're not a punitive board. We don't like doing that. Even if we assess fines, it goes to the state general fund. So it's like there's nothing here. We're all about wanting to get you back and get you better. So we're in your court at this point. We also got to kind of deal with the issues as they come up. So hopefully, we never see an issue like this again.
Correct.
But
Dr. Byrne, do you have anything?
No, I tend to agree with that train of thought.
Now, is this a votable action item?
No, I think it's just a no
just
action.
Discussion.
No
action.
Action.
Okay, no action. All right, any questions for us?
No, I think that answered everything, and I appreciate you guys being understanding and allowing me another chance. I know it's my last chance, so I appreciate that.
Well, we're rooting for you.
Thank you. So Dr. Byrne and Mr. Goldberg, we're going to disconnect the call. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Section 2, number 13, case 2509, regarding Hugo Santibanez, DVM.
Chair, the practice monitor is also here. I don't know in what order you want everyone.
That is a good question. You know what? Let's have Katie, and let's have her come up just because 2509, and then we also have.
Because those are two separate things.
Yes, they're two separate things. Yeah. So, okay. So, 2509. So, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're still morning. Let's go ahead and state your name.
Katie Carpenter.
Thank you, Katie. And then you are the elected practice monitor.
Yes.
So elected by Dr. Santibanez and then approved by the board. So the reason for case 2509 is the report that was made in July.
Okay.
So. That was a non-compliance case, and then obviously we have the other case, so two separate matters. So regarding that, so Ms. Solomon, you are the lead for the case.
Yes.
And again, this is just regarding the report that we received that caused us to open this case for non-compliance.
Yes. First of all, I want to commend you on your very detailed reports.
Thank you.
I think you're excellent. I think your offering of corrective action should be of great assistance to Dr. Santibanez. I know that sometimes it appeared in that report it was not well received. And to put it politely. My concern there is that your role is there to be of assistance. There seemed to be a misunderstanding about what compliance was. And if I have 75% compliance, does that mean I'm okay? And as you noted, it's not. It's like you're driving in a car and there are 100 rules of the road and you used your turn signal, but you were speeding. You still get the speeding ticket. Even though you used your turn signal. And I'm not sure that is something that has yet gotten across to Dr. Santibanez. So I'm 90% okay. We're 90% compliant.
It's not a passing grade. It's not a passing grade, it's all or nothing.
It's an absolute, right. Each statute and rule stands on its own and requires compliance, which you have made very clear in your reports. Also, I want to commend you on your references to DEA and OSHA, because our statutes require the veterinarian to comply with federal and state law. So although the response seemed to be that he didn't understand why you were focusing on it, it is clearly within the realm of our statutes, as you correctly identified, that those things, and again, that should be of great assistance to him. And I would hope that it seems in the next report, which we'll get into in a minute, that seems to have turned around a little bit in a more positive direction. My concern remains around controlled substances. So could you elaborate a little bit on what was going on in your second report on controlled substances?
Okay, the report I just did.
The second one is the July.
No, because this is for non-compliance for the report in July. So
right.
This is all we're talking about.
Right. That was my second report technically, because there was one in May.
Yes, that's
May,
the one
so
I'm referring to.
Sure
the second report was in July.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
The controlled drug logs, there was a dispensing log and a basic inventory log. They were all loose leaf paper. I know there isn't a direct statute on having to have the bottles numbered, but it was essentially just a running log. And when the math got down to zero, a new bottle total was being added in. So there wasn't any auditing and there wasn't any true, this is the bottle that's being used. So I immediately ordered compliant books and changed things over, as well as changed up the required inventory or unopened logs, having the, you know, Schedule 2s, even though he doesn't carry Schedule 2s versus the 3 through 5s, and explained all that. And then I was able to take all of the invoices I could find and bring all the drugs that were in multiple locations and try to match lot numbers, etc. And there were some things that I was able to clearly do and some things that it's impossible for me to do. So I just made really clear documentation in those books, you know, like there were 10 bottles here, but right now there's only 8. So I don't know where those were, when they were used, et cetera. So after that, I had created almost like a mock drug log. It's what we use to teach vet tech students, to have him put all of the things that he was using so that we could transfer them immediately. Well, not immediately, but ASAP into the dispensing logs. And I wrote out instructions of how to properly check them in on an invoice, including the required NDC and actually verifying, because there were some bottles that we're assuming is the bottles that was the invoice, but the lot numbers actually don't match. And I did reach out and talk to the distributor and spoke to their, what they call the cage workers or something, and they are stating it is not from them. But we went ahead and kind of labeled it as that, which I noted on the paperwork, because he's saying it has to be that, but there's no paper trail essentially anywhere for that.
Is there any possibility, because I've noted he also takes contributions of medications, could that have been a source?
That was 10 bottles, so I would not think, that was 10 unopened bottles.
Okay.
That would be more than I would expect.
Gotcha.
Yes, so we got some. Then the next time I came in, he was not doing that correctly. He was writing on the mock drug log with just all the same bottle number. I'm not sure why. And then, so it was very challenging to get that transferred into the correct dispensing logs. He said he didn't like that method, so we did away with that. And then we went to him directly writing into the dispensing logs. At that time, there wasn't a lot of drugs being ordered, because we found whole bottles in multiple locations, so I don't think he'll need to order euthanasia solution for a very long time. So we haven't had to really do the check-in process together, except for down the road, when I went to check everything, and we were missing like client numbers and things like that, and I had told him that you can't have those blanks, which he had stated that those patients didn't have client numbers. So I talked to the staff, they did, but I think he wasn't understanding how that process was working. And so I went through the computer and filled in all those blanks. That day, I went back to put the book away, and I saw that the bottle that he had been logging was sitting there unopened. So that prompted me to get the keys to go see what bottle was opened, and it was a completely different bottle that the math did not match up. And then I pulled it all up in front of multiple people and had him essentially waste it out, because I don't know where that went. So then I checked out a new bottle, like the number 4 bottle, showed him how to do it, brought it from unopened, put it into opened, got the whole thing all fresh. That's where that report ended with that. Yes, because then it goes forward. But that's where that one had ended, where they all were very poorly done, and he also had made some statements that his books were perfect until I came there.
Okay, which we know is not the case.
Yeah.
So I think that the biggest thing is we got this report, right? We're like, okay, this is non-compliance, because these are things that, regarding medical care, pain management, not
pain
using gloves, right? Those types of things.
Yeah.
So as far as, you know, and of course we have, you know, we can ask more questions, but there was a response, right, from the doctor. And I think that we're kind of missing the mark in the sense that this is regarding the non-compliance. What do we do with this particular situation, right? Because now we have new information moving forward that's related
right,
to the case.
Right.
But, you know, this person was selected by the doctor, but, you know, now it's like this personal attack, you know, and that's not the case at all. And this practice monitor is reporting to us, he was receiving it as a personal attack,
yeah.
It looks like. But this practice monitor is also functioning almost as a consultant at this point, so going way above and beyond, like kindness and those types of things. But how do we want to go with this? Do you have any ideas? Do we want like a consent agreement, a letter of concern? Are we going to move it to an informal?
Well, there are a couple other items I would like to address that include pain management. And I would like the veterinarians on the board to comment on the refusal to use certain analgesia.
So just logistically, you may just want to have her, you know, say whatever she wants to say. She doesn't have the opportunity to do that. But then you still need to hear from the respondent,
yes,
as well, before you have a discussion about what you may want to do with it.
Right.
I think just so we make sure we're on the right track, though, that
yes,
we're not going
yes
into the other case. You know?
No, that's, I've only been referring to the second report, which was in July.
Okay.
Yes.
So should we ask Katie if she has a statement?
Yeah, would you? Yes, I'd like you to comment on the use. It appears to be a refusal to use any opioid-based analgesics.
But if we're going deeper into this, wouldn't that be more of an informal? Like, wouldn't she just make her statement at this point?
I'm asking her to clarify her report.
Okay.
But you guys make the call.
Okay.
We haven't even, this is an initial, so.
I know, because it got pended. It got pended from last month because
yeah
it kind of got
yes
a little bit
but
rerouted.
Is we
and
haven't,
we have
haven't heard.
Right, that's
yeah
what I'm saying. That's
yeah
what I'm asking is, do we want to hear from her first and then you can.
I would love to hear just kind of a general statement of how you think things are going.
But that's,
you know,
for the other case. We have to.
No,
right,
on this, from this second letter, like where you were, I guess it would be in July,
yeah,
and if, you know, you felt like your presence there was helping and if things were being improved and just kind of your general consensus. And it probably isn't a very long because you had such a wonderful, thorough report.
Yes.
I don't think I could type 15 pages, but it was very helpful. So I, you know, you may not have much more to add, but if there is anything that you just kind of want to, or just kind of highlight for us.
I feel like in July I wasn't expecting for a majority of things that I found to feel like it hadn't gone anywhere. like the initial time I went to observe to then when I went through and I was working on things. As it got time, as it got closer to my report, I started, which I informed them, backing off on what I was doing and what I was double checking and putting that ball in everyone's court. You know, we created different logs for responsibilities and things and ways to improve things. And then I even, if you saw the report, had, you know, a friend of mine come in that is also Spanish speaking and came from similar history. I thought they'd really bond and got his opinion on it. And it was very clear that I was going to be out for a week. And when I came back, I only reported on that following week, not the months that I had also been there and the things that I had seen, essentially. So when I came back, and all I did was pull charts and things like that to report on and make copies, and it, nothing really had changed. They were using the papers, essentially, that I had created, but they weren't being used the way that I had trained anybody or designed. And I just did not feel like there was very much change. And anytime I would point that out, because I didn't want it to be a surprise. So I had come to him that day to say, like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm going to report on. But I want you to know that this is not looking good, you know, everything that we've done. And that was surprising that it came back at such a negative response, almost like it was my fault kind of thing. And so a lot of the things that we tried to change, it's commonly said it's because somebody else didn't do it or so-and-so was going to do it, but there hasn't been anything that, there hasn't been any follow through on the responsibility side of things. So from July, it was very frustrating to feel attacked.
Yes.
And to see that all of these hours and hours and hours that I've been putting in and the advice and creating policies and training people and I was learning Spanish, like all of this stuff. I felt like in July there had been basically no change.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. And that clearly came across in your report. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to offer an amended CA.
Well, we have to hear from. Yes.
Oh, he's not here.
No,
but they're both here. They're all here.
Oh, Dr. Santibanez is here. Sorry, I didn't see you.
And they did speak last month.
Yes, yes.
Okay. But we pinned it because we didn't.
Quick question. Today, how is the relationship going between you and the practice?
We talk about that now or about the next
one? I would say, do we want to do
one.
It with the other case?
Next step.
That's the other agenda item.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you. Can I go back?
Yes, please, thank you. Okay. Hello, Mr.
Sorry,
Carey.
Friend. Sorry, Dr. Ibanez.
Not at all.
Please come.
So, okay, so.
And Enid Pelifox, who's Shiva Compliance, is also here, so if you'd like to hear from her as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, and we did hear from her
yeah.
about
yeah.
this, so I think we're good there.
So, Chair Frost, this is Flynn Carey, and I'm joined by the licensee. This is a little bit artificial because I think that if we can talk about what I would suggest, just from a procedural perspective, we can talk about the pending matter. You may want to talk about the other matter as well before you do anything on either matter, and you can table this one after because there has been, I think, significant changes that I think, in conjunction with Katie, we have been working very effectively together. And I'd like the board, obviously, to have the whole picture before it votes on anything. So one way we might be able to accomplish that is I'm happy to stay in my lane on this 2509, but you may want to table it, hear about the other matter, and then at that point decide what order you want to vote things on. And I'm sure Mark will tell me if I even can't do that.
Well, again, you know, as was discussed, these are two different cases, really. You know, this particular case is about a violation of a board order. The second case is a result of the concerns from the, you know, the practice monitor.
Well, what I would say in response to Katie's report is I think the message was received. I mean, I think you'll see that my appearance in this case coincided with her report, and her report is significantly improved. I think that demonstrates overall compliance. there is definitely a focus on the controlled substance issue. After the last meeting, I know Enith, the compliance individual, did have the opportunity to meet with Victoria for a while and discuss the books. I know after that, Katie came by twice in a week, and on Friday she spent a significant amount of time with Enith to ensure that she is trained on those books as well. You'll hear in relation to the practice monitor case in compliance with the different steps that have been taken to secure medications. So I think this is, I think there has been significant improvement in the process. I think that it remains a work in progress in some ways, but there has been significant improvement, and I think it has really is the difference between day and night from July until present. And I think that my hope would be we can find a path to continue these check-ins, and I don't know if that needs to be, I think that the 2 month is what's set right now, but if these check-ins I think should occur, and I think that the board should consider whether we need to make amendments at this time, or if we are showing ample progress with the practice. I don't know that an informal, just the procedure that goes around it and the amount of the time that it does take is necessary at this stage, because I think all of this is still an outgrowth of improving practice management, and I think that is happening. And I'm trying to stay in my lane because I want to talk about the changes that have been made from July to the present, but the best I can say is I think the purpose of practice management is you bring someone into a clinic or to an office that is not operating the way the board wants to see it, and I think there has to be a recognition that there's going to be still a learning curve. I think that Dr. Santibanez has a much better understanding now, hopefully due to both participation of counsel and I think the engagement between Ms. Carpenter and me, that what her role is, what my role is, and I think it is improving. And there were some things I saw in the report, the new report, that I think have really shown that there is an improvement. So I'm not exactly sure what the procedural mechanism would be, but my hope is that we can continue on the path. I think we have a good rhythm going at this point.
Okay, thank you.
And I do, Chair Frost, I can talk to you about pain management and all the things that are being addressed, I guess, in the other case.
Yeah.
Those yes. are, I'm ready yes. to speak to those, to Ms. Solomon's points.
Okay, thank you. Did we have anything else for this case?
Nothing at this time.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah, so we are still dealing with the July,
yes.
the second report that was issued in July was the reason that this case was opened. And there were a number of areas of non-compliance that were found at that time. And if Mark, can we pen that until after we hear the next item? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. In that case, I'd like to pen it until we go. Victoria, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, so my question is do we need to pen this one for the other case just because they're separate things?
It's the same practice.
It is the same practice. However, the reason we opened the case is for this.
Non-compliance.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'm prepared to offer an amendment to the consent agreement.
Okay.
Based on the non-compliance okay. that was found in the July report.
Okay.
And the basic remedy here is I think it needs. As an aside, I've read the follow-up report. I'm aware of some improvement, but I think we need to extend the probationary period to provide more time to get the practice where it needs to be. So I would propose that we extend the probationary period, which was 1 year, I believe, to 2 years.
From the original?
Yes. And that's so we can make sure it's to make sure that not only are we making progress, that the progress sticks, that we don't revert back,
okay.
which I sensed was happening in the second report. So it's twofold the reason to extend the probation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when looking at the information that we received, not only from the practice monitor and trying to clarify the language, that it's not a practice manager, it's a practice monitor. The monitor was put into place because of the issues that are being found.
I'm talking about project management.
No, I know, but
practice management.
Right, but the attorney had referenced practice manager, so I just want to make sure that, yeah, she's really going above and beyond.
Yes, yes.
But in this case, and I would agree with extending the probationary period, just because even from the response from the respondent was us versus them, you know, and not really recognizing or coming together that this person is there to help you, you know? Not, she's not an inspector per se, you know, and trying to damage the practice is definitely a to help. So maybe more time would be valuable.
Thank you. Is there a second to my motion?
Second.
So a motion and second to amend to offer an amendment to the
Consent agreement to extend probation to 2 years.
And then if not signed?
Within 30 days.
Informal.
Goes to informal. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So second. All right. Any other discussion?
Can I ask, is this for case 25-09?
Yes.
Yeah.
2509.
Yes.
So there's no consent agreement for 2509. Are you guys?
Sir.
Oh, there isn't one.
No, this is the case that makes sense.
That we just opened.
This is the one for the non-compliance.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So in that case, I would propose a consent agreement.
Well, it can be
amending the consent agreement
yeah,
that exists
be,
because it was a.
And then, you know, upon. Acceptance of the amendment to the original consent agreement dismiss this case. And if he doesn't accept it, then we'll invite in for an informal keeping this case alive.
So in 2509, we're extending the probationary period on a prior case that where the original consent agreement came from, whatever case that was.
Yeah, I think you would offer a consent agreement to extend on 2453. And then upon that, you would dismiss on 09.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
If you're good with that.
Yes, I am. So at this point, there is, I want to pen that until after we do the next case, because I don't want to do a dismissal now before we've amended
well,
the consent.
Well, it's not a dismissal.
No. Okay, well, that's what Flynn said.
No, it'll only be a dismissal if he accepts the modified consent agreement
right.
to extend
okay.
probation
yes.
for
okay.
1 year.
Okay. But the consent agreement is not for this case, it's for the other case.
It's for right.
2453.
Right, I recognize it's a little wonky,
yeah.
but
very.
I think you can go ahead and approve this motion.
Okay.
It has no impact on what you decide to do.
Great. Okay, so my motion stands. Does your second stand, Dr. Nostin? Great, thank you.
Okay,
yes.
Do we want a voice vote then?
There will be a roll call.
A roll call, sorry.
Thank
roll
you.
Call. Mrs. Frost.
Yeah, a little confusing.
Thank you. Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, so motion passes to offer a consent agreement to amend the
original
consent agreement.
To extend probation by 1 year.
2450.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Would you like Katie back up at this point?
Yeah, should we just wrap
yeah,
up the
yes,
next
we're,
item?
We're
section.
On to the September 13th report.
Okay, so this is section 4, number 12, case 2453, regarding Hugo Santibanez, DVM, board may review, discuss, and take action on practice monitoring for. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Go ahead and state your name.
Katie Carpenter.
Thank you. Okay, so.